Pastor Fred Luter has come up to teach us about what that means. And there are some folks here, maybe in this room right now, who've come back from New Orleans, maybe. Yep. And for those of you who don't know, we partner with Pastor Fred's church, and we go down. We just help rebuild. This man is a city lover. He is a city changer. And I want you to give him a warm crossroads slap on the butt welcome, Pastor Fred Luter.
Thanks, Josh. Amen. Good morning, Crossroads. How's everybody doing? All right, let me see my folk from Go New Orleans. Where y'all? Wave your hand, wave your hand, wave your hand. Amen. Thank y'all so much. Give an obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life. I just want to thank Pastor Brian for giving me this tremendous opportunity to be here this weekend at Crossroads. I don't normally, my wife is sitting there, Antonia and Sharia, I don't normally leave my pulpit on Sunday mornings. We just got back from Hurricane Katrina, and I'm normally there every Sunday and every Wednesday night because I'm so busy doing the work of traveling all across the country, preaching different places. When this invitation came, I could not turn it down because of what you guys have meant to us, not only at Franklin Avenue, but the city of New Orleans. Crossroads, you have impacted our church. You have impacted our city. You have impacted our neighborhoods. You've impacted our young people that have come out to VBS. And I just want to thank you on behalf of the city of New Orleans, on behalf of our church, to let you know that our lives will never again be the same because of the impact that you have in your partnership. And those of you who didn't go down, you're still a part of this because you're a part of Crossroads. Your finances and your support and your prayers for those who did go down has meant a tremendous opportunity for. So let's give yourselves a hand for all that you've done. Amen. So I am so overjoyed to be. As a matter of fact, I'm excited and delighted because I have been invited, amen, to be here to this weekend. I want to thank Todd and Tim and John Mark and all of the team that came down to help us out. You guys have made a tremendous difference in our lives, and I want to thank God particularly for the mission teams and all that you have done for us. I look forward to many years of partnering together with you. As those of you who've gone down to the city of New Orleans, we're still not out of the woods yet. The neighborhood right around our church, because we're there to tell you we're in the hood, but it's good in the hood. It really is good in the hood. The houses that still have not been touched since Hurricane Katrina. And so you make a difference when you do that. The block party on Friday night was just off the chain. It was just awesome just to see all of you guys coming together and just being a blessing to us in the city of New Orleans. So thank you, Crossroads, for your investment in our lives, your investment in Franklin Avenue, and your investment in the city of New Orleans. So I'm excited about being here. Let Pastor Brian know how much I appreciate this opportunity. I love what y'all are doing here. We love New Orleans. I've seen the bumper stickers around the city and on the car. We love Cincinnati. And it's a great thing to love your city, to love the people, to love the neighborhoods, to love the sports team. Well, the Bengals kind of hard to love by right now, but y'all hang in there. At least y'all been to a Super Bowl, amen? The Saints, we haven't even been to a Charlie Bowl, so y'all just hang in there. Y'all been... But to love your sports teams, to love the restaurants and the food, the activities all over there. It's a great thing to love your city. But the question I want to present the Crossroads to all of you here today, but what if the city you love is one day destroyed? What if the city you love is one day wiped out by a disaster? How would you handle that? How would you deal with that when the city that you love, the city that you care about, the city that you talk is no longer there to love? How do you handle that? How do you deal with that? Well, I want to talk about that this morning to share with you my ordeal through Hurricane Katrina, and trust and pray that something I share may be a blessing to those of you, an encouragement to those of you who ever face difficult times, a tough time in your life. I'm preaching this morning from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4. The multimedia will put it up on the screen in just a moment. Verses 35 through 41 of that chapter. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. You'll find these words. On the same day when the evening had come, Jesus said unto them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Teacher, King James said, Master, do you not care that we are perishing? Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this man be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Our Father and our God, Master, we are so grateful. I am so grateful. Elizabeth and I are so grateful for this wonderful and exciting privilege that you've given us to be here this weekend at the Crossroads Community Church. Thank you, Lord, not only for the life that they've touched in New Orleans, but life they're touching all over this great city of Cincinnati, this state of Ohio, all over this world, God, where they're sending people to impact the lives of other people. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Brian. I pray your blessings upon he and his family, God, as he takes some time to relax and recuperate, God. I pray your blessings upon him, God. Thank you for this ministry, God. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the members of this congregation, God, and I pray your blessings upon them. Now, God, I ask that you would do every time I stand to proclaim your word. That is, God, let me decrease as you increase. Father, hide me behind the cross. God, let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. God, therefore, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, to the end that you may be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. And Master, when it's all said and done, I'll be so very careful to give your name all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, let everybody say amen, amen, and amen. But Jesus said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I want to preach this morning from the subject, what to do when the storm comes. What to do when the storm comes. My brothers and my sisters, it happens to every believer at one time or another. Crossroads, it happens to every child of God sooner or later in life. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter how long you've been born again. It doesn't even matter what age you are. You can be an adoring child, a tender teenager. In your tempting 20s, your tantalizing 30s, your firm 40s, your fading 50s, your soaring 60s, your serene 70s, your aching 80s, or your blessed 90s. It doesn't matter your age, but I promise you, sooner or later, it will happen to you. Doesn't even matter what your vocation or what your profession may be. You can be a school teacher like my daughter, an attorney, a pharmacist like my wife, an accountant, a business owner, a housemaker, a seminary student like my son, a preacher boy, a denominational worker, a carpenter, an electrician, and for the younger folk in the house like Carly, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, it really don't matter, but sooner or later, I promise you, it will happen to you. Doesn't even matter what your denomination may be. You can be independent Baptist, interdenominational, Southern Baptist, National Baptist, American Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Church of God in Christ. You can be Presbyterian. You can be like the many of folk that I pastored for many years in the city of New Orleans. You can be bedside Baptist. Now, those are the people that when it get too hot, when it get too cold, when it rain, those are the people that will stay home on Sunday morning. And their senior pastor that morning is Pastor Celia Pastropedic Mattress. And their sister pastor is Pastor Pillar. Y'all act like y'all know some of those folk, amen? But sooner or later, it will happen to you. Doesn't even matter what your race may be. You can be Anglo, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, or African American. But I promise you, my brother, I promise you, my sister, sooner or later, it will happen to you. And Crossroads, what will happen to that? Somewhere between the time that you're born and the time that you die. Somewhere between the time that you take your first breath in life and the time you take your last breath. Somewhere between the time you take your first step in life and the time you take your... Somewhere between the time that you're born and the time that you die, heartache, trouble, and pain will knock at your door. So much in the time that you're born, Sherry, and the time that you die, the time you take your first step, and the time you take your letter, somewhere along your life, storms will come in your life. And my brothers and my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, my concern this morning is not that you have storms. My concern is not that you have trouble, trials, and tribulations in your life. But my concern is just based on what I've gone through these last 3.5 years is, what do you do when the storm comes? What do you do when those tough times come in your marriage, in your ministry, as a single parent, as a young person, as a teenager, as a college student, as a senior? What do you do when those tough times come in your life? You know what I discovered, Crossroads? I discovered that in spite of all the scriptures you and I may know by memory, I discovered that in spite of all the past blessings of God in your life, I discovered that in spite of all the testimonies that you've heard from this pulpit through Pastor Brian or other people that have shared this pulpit or in the ministry, I discovered that many of us still don't know what to do when the storms of life are raging. I've discovered that many of us still don't know what to do when the storms come in your life. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, from the pulpit to the door, from the balcony to the floor, I've come all the way from the city of New Orleans to ask you a question. How do you handle storms in your life? How do you handle trials and tribulation in your life? How do you handle tough times in your life? No, you didn't go through Hurricane Katrina like I did. You didn't go through Hurricane Rita like I did. You didn't go through Hurricane Gustav like I did. But I promise you, you've had some storms right here in this sanctuary, right here in this building. I promise you there's some people who face some storms in your life. You didn't go through a hurricane, but I promise you. Well, how do you handle, how do you deal with the storm of a divorce? When someone that you walk down the aisle to and look in their eyes and say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, and one day that person is inside, I've had enough of this marriage. I want out of this marriage. I'm not hanging there. How do you handle something like that? How do you handle the storm of an unfaithful spouse where someone that you've committed your life to and committed your love to and committed your emotions to, one day they say, I don't want this life. You find out that they've committed adultery on you, or they stepped out in fornication. How do you handle the storm of an unfaithful spouse? How do you handle the storm of an unexpected death where someone near and dear to you has died unexpectedly, maybe of cancer, maybe of a stroke, maybe of a heart attack, but has affected you and you have never yet recovered from that unexpected? How do you handle the storm of a sickness when the doctor tells you, you only got so many days to live, so many months to live, and you can't do the thing that you used to because of the enemy has attacked your body physically? How do you handle the storms of jealousy and envy in the ministry? How do you handle the hardships, financial hardships in your life when your money is funny and your change is strange? How do you handle storms in your marriage? Not somebody else's marriage, your marriage. Not somebody else's wife, your wife. Not somebody else's husband, your husband. Not somebody else's kids, your kids. Not somebody else's parents, your parents. How do you handle storms in your life and storms in your ministry and storms in your... How do you handle those tough times in your life? How do you handle those difficult times in your life when you know you need to do something, but you just don't know what to do? Well, my brothers and my sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you know what I've discovered? I've discovered, my brothers and my sisters, that when trouble comes our way, I've discovered that when the storms of life are raging, I've discovered that faith is the first area that the enemy works on. I don't know about y'all up here in Cincinnati. Can't speak for y'all, but I discovered that faith is the first area that the enemy works on. Can I just share with you my story for a moment? My wife and I left the Saturday before Hurricane Katrina. We don't play with hurricane. We've been living all our life. And so we went to Birmingham. Our daughter stays in Birmingham. She had just graduated from Sanford University there in the month of May. And she started looking for her an apartment. And this girlfriend, Sherry, you know, Kim, she insisted on having a two-bedroom apartment. And I said, Kimberly, you're just by yourself, baby. I said, Daddy, need a break. I've been paying tuition for 4 years. I need a break. Why do you need a two-bedroom? I know your mama taught you well. I know your spiritual gift is shopping. I know you got all these clothes and all these shoes and all this stuff. But, baby, why do you need a two-bedroom apartment? Crossroads, I will never forget. My daughter looked at me, and she said, Daddy, who knows? One day you and mama may need a place to stay. And 2 months later, we needed a place to stay. 2 months later, we need a place to stay. But don't clap too soon. Let me warn you this. I pray in Jesus' name. I pray in the name that is above every name, that no parent in here would ever have to live with your kids. They get amnesia. They forget about all the stuff they put you through when they were living at your house. We was watching the news one day, watching what's going on in the city. And I had just a little cup of tea and knocked the tea over on the carpet. Girlfriend had a fit. Daddy, look what you did to my carpet. I said, girl, don't you go there. Don't you go there. You want me to take my checkbook out, see all the carpet I had to replace for you and your brother, all the mattresses I had to replace when you peed on the bed and did this and did that and that. Girl, don't you go there because I waste a carpet. They forget. I mean, one time we was at home, and she was a fifth grade math and science teacher, and me and my wife was there, and other people from New Orleans were there just watching the news and watching what's going on in the city. And she came home and walked through the door. She said, why y'all got all these lights on? Why y'all got it? I said, girl, you must have lost your mind. Can I remind you of the thousands and thousands of dollars I paid for you and your brother, all the birthday parties, all the sleepovers, all the pay-per-view wrestling thing y'all had at our house, the Sweet 16, the Sweet 17, the Sweet 18, Sweet 9. Girl, you must have lost your... I pray in Jesus' name that no parent in here would ever have to live with your kids. They forget about the stuff they put you through. I tell you, I don't know who needed that, but somebody did, all right? So we're sitting there, Cherie, sitting there, Tony, in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm looking at the church that God allowed me to pastor. From 50 members, pre-Katrina, had over 7,000 folk. Looking at the church that we just bought 90 acres of property. We're 12 miles from the church. We was going to build something just like this y'all have here. 5,000 seat auditorium, man. We're going to athletic fields for a senior soldier center for our senior. It was going to be incredible. Now, we wouldn't have gave away free CDs and free coffee. That's another thing. But we had all that. And things were going well. But a woman named Katrina came and destroyed it all. And I'm sitting in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm looking at the church that God allowed me to pastor, the only church I've ever pastored on the water. Looking at the home that God allowed and blessed my wife and I to build from ground up on the water. The schools we went to on the water, the other churches in the city on the water. And I'm looking at what's going on in it. And I say, God, why don't you do something? God, this is not right. God, this is America. People are dying. People need water. People need food. God, why don't you do something? God, this is the third world nation. This is America. People need water. Babies are dying. Senior soldiers are dying. God, why don't you do something? I was angry with God. I was angry with our president, angry with our mayor, angry with our governor. I was angry. Didn't want to pray, didn't want to read the Bible, didn't want to preach. I was just, I could not understand how something like this could happen in America. And for the first time in my life, my faith was literally shaken. Now, don't get me wrong, Crossroads. Don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. I understand there are some things in the city of New Orleans that grieve the heart of God. Understand there was something that happened in our city that God was not pleased with. But my question to God, since August the 29th, 2005, I haven't gotten an answer yet, but when I get to heaven, God and I are going to have a long conversation, my brother, about this. Was that, God, I understand you don't like some things that happened in the city. I understand you don't like some things going on, but God, why don't you just take out those things? Seem fair to me. God, if you got a problem with Bourbon Street, why not just take out Bourbon Street? God, if you got a problem with the strip clubs on Bourbon Street, why not take out the strip clubs? God, if you got a problem with the satanic churches in the French Quarter that are still there today, why not take out the satanic churches? But this is what messed my mind up, Crossroads. My church was flooded. Other churches in the city were flooded. Northern Seminary, where I went to, was flooded. The school my wife went to, Xavier University, she got a pharmacy degree, was flooded. Dillard University was flooded. Tulane University was flooded. Loyola University was flooded. Other neighborhoods were flooded. But Bourbon Street was high and dry. Matter of fact, it was the first time in the history of Bourbon Street that it was dry. Some of y'all got that. Some of y'all got that. Well, y'all a sharp crowd. Y'all a sharp crowd. And I'm looking at that. I say, God, this is not fair. God, this is not right. God, why don't you do something? For the first time in my life, Tony, my faith was literally shaken. Kind of reminds me of a story I heard of this gentleman who was walking through the wilderness. And he wasn't watching where he was going, and he fell into this seemingly bottomless pit. He looked down. There was nothing but darkness. He looked up. He couldn't climb out of that thing, so he began to cry out, hey, is anybody up there? Nothing. He cried just a little louder. Hey, is anybody up there? Still nothing. He cried out one more time. Hey, is anybody up there? After a while, a verse came back, and the verse said, I'm here. And the guy said, who is it? The verse said, this is God. He said, oh, God, I knew you were coming to my rescue. God, I knew you were coming to my rescue. God, I knew you would deliver me. God said, believe I can deliver you? Yes, God. God said, do you trust me? Yes, God. God said, do you have faith? Yes, God, I have faith. God said, let go the branch. There was a long period of silence there. After a while, a verse came back. Hey, is anybody else up there? Oh, brothers and sisters, Crossroads, I can't explain it to you. Maybe you got to wait till Pastor Brian come back and explain it to you. But I've discovered that every night, that I can't show it to you in the scripture, I can't make sense of it, but I've discovered that every now and then, God will allow you and I to get in a situation where we got to trust in him like we say we do. That every now and then, God will allow us to get in a situation where we can't depend on mama, can't depend on daddy, can't depend on the pastor, can't depend on the church leader, can't depend on the mayor, can't depend on the governor, sure can't depend on FEMA, can't depend on none of those things. And your back is against the wall, and all you have is God. Let me tell you what I've discovered. I've discovered that anybody can preach about faith, anybody can teach about faith, anybody can sing about faith, anybody can write about faith, but every now and then, Crossroads, God will allow you to be in a situation where God said, if you love me and trust me and have faith in me like you say you do, let go the branch. Yes. 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 Because if you don't have faith, you have fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. And that's what's happening right here in my text. All of that was my introduction, by the way. All right, this is my text. Here in Mark chapter 4, these brothers didn't know what to do when the storm came. They didn't know what to do when the storms of life were raging. They've been with Jesus now for several years. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he was the Son of God. But yet, in spite of all that their eyes had seen and about all that their ears had heard, these brothers didn't know what to do when the storms of life came. Therefore, I want to share with you three things that God has gave me in this text. Three things that God reminded me through my pity party and my ordeal through Hurricane Katrina. Three things that my wife had to keep reminding me of during that time that I was just mad with God and mad with the city and mad with the, I was just saying, three things that I trust and pray that everybody in here, when storms of life are raging, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your ministry, whether it's as a single parent, whether it's a college student, whether it's a single individual, well, three things you must never, ever forget when the storms of life are raging. Number one, you must remember the promises of Jesus. You must remember the promises of Jesus. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 4 says this, on the same day when the evening had come, Jesus said unto them, let us cross over to the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, you must remember the promises of Jesus. Cross over, let me tell you a secret. Jesus didn't come to drown. He didn't come to drown. He came to die on a cross. He didn't come to drown. He came to give his life for a ransom for many. He didn't come to, matter of fact, he couldn't drown. Not here, because Judas had not yet betrayed him. He couldn't drown. Not here, y'all, because Peter had not yet denied him. Jesus told him he couldn't drown. Not here, Kyle, because he had not yet been brought before Pilate and Caiaphas and unjust court. Jesus couldn't drown, y'all. They're not marching him up that hill called Calvary and whipped him till he was almost bloody from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He couldn't drown, y'all. They're not yet nailed his hands and nailed his feet to the cross. He could not drown, y'all. They're not yet put a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus couldn't drown, y'all. He had not yet cried those seven cries from the cross. The first one being, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The fourth one being, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why, God, why hast thou forsaken me? The seventh cry being, my God, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus couldn't drown, y'all. He had not yet died for you and 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 for me. He couldn't drown, y'all. He had not yet put him in Joseph's borrowed tomb, and he used to bother me. Why in the world would they put him in somebody's borrowed tomb? Didn't somebody have some money that they could have bought a tomb for him? I'm sure there was a well-to-do member in the church, in the synagogue, that could have bought him his own tomb. Then I thought about that thing. Why buy something you're going to only use for 3 days? Amen. And he died and died, and he couldn't drown because he rose on resurrection Sunday morning, all power in his hand. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Jesus couldn't drown, y'all, because he had not yet redeemed mankind from the sins of the world. That's why I said, boys, let's go to the other side. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when the storms of life are raging, when trouble comes in your life and in your marriage and in your ministry, in your single life, remember the promises of Jesus. In Crossroads, there are promises all in the Word of God for every child of God that's here today. Psalms 37 and 25, David said, I have been young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's a promise. Psalms 34 and 19 say, many are the afflictions in the third balcony of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's a promise. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, I'll keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trust in the Lord. That's a promise. Isaiah 40 and 31, and those of you from Crossroads that were there 2 weeks ago, I preached from this text, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise. Isaiah 43 and 2 said, and this was personal, y'all, when you walk through the fire, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you go through the rivers, that shall not overflow you, because thou art the Lord, I will take care of you. That's a promise. Matthew 11 and 28 said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Romans 8 and 28, for we know that all things, not just something, Crossroads, but all things work together for good to them that love God, them are called according to his purpose. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In Romans 8:38-39, Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor even Hurricane Katrina or Ocho Cinco can keep me and separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's a promise. Yes. Oh, Andrea, Josh, praise seems when thinking about God's promises, the songwriter said it best. I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roar. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, still fight on. Why? Because he promised. Why? Because he promised. Why? Because he promised. Why? Because he promised never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. No, he promised never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. That's why I say, boys, let's go to the other side. But then there's a second thing in the text that I need to remind you of that you must never forget, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your ministry, whether it's in your single life, whether it's at school, whether it's a struggling through college, whatever it is, remember the promises of Jesus. Secondly, remember the presence of Jesus. Look at verse 36 in Mark chapter 4. The Bible says, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. Jesus was in the same boat with the disciples. Jesus could have did this. He really could. He could have said, Andrea, Josh, praise team, y'all were slamming. Y'all were awesome. Y'all were off the chain. I just mean they were good. That's all. He said, listen, I know we got to get ready for the next crusade. I know y'all got to pack up all the equipment. I am physically tired. I'm drained. I need to get me a nap. Y'all get the equipment together, and I'm just going to walk on water, and I'll meet y'all on the other side. He could have did that, Doc. He could have did that, Tony. But why? Because he was God's divine son. But he didn't. The Bible says he was right in the same boat with the disciples. His presence was with them. I don't know who's here today. I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstance. But I want to let you know today that I don't care what you're going through, what your ordeal is, his presence is with you. I don't know what the doctor's report is. I don't know what you're dealing with at home. I don't know what you're dealing with at school. I don't know what's in your checkbook, but I promise you, whatever you're dealing with, his presence is with you. If you're born again, if you've accepted him into your life, he's walking with you. He's talking with you. His grace is with you. His mercy is with you. But don't just take my word for it. All throughout the scripture, there are people who can testify about the presence of Jesus. Ask Noah about his presence as he built that ark with no sign of rain in the sky, but God protected he and his family from the 40 days of flooding. Ask Moses about his presence. Pharaoh was fast behind him, mountains on both sides, the Red Sea was in front of them, and God provided a dry ground for Moses and the children of Israel to get through. Ask young David about his presence as he went up against that big old ugly dude by the name of Goliath. He didn't have a Uzi, he didn't have an AK-47, he didn't have a Glock, he didn't have a 38, he didn't have a 22. All he had was a slingshot and some rocks, and God gave young David the victory. His presence is with you. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about his presence as they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to King Nab, because maybe they was taught, maybe at Crossroads Community Church, maybe at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church, that there was only one king, and King Nab was not his name, and his presence was with him. Ask Daniel about his presence as he was thrown into the lion, and God put Lotja on those. But not only Daniel, not only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not only Noah, not only David, but I promise you, there's somebody here this morning in the Crossroads Community Church, maybe on the third balcony, maybe in the second balcony, maybe on the bottom level, but you was about to give up. You was about to throw in the towel. You was about to commit suicide. But just in the nick of time, God came through and said, I'm here. I'm here. Don't do something foolish. I can get you through this, and we can make it together. His presence is with you. Whatever you're going through, remember his promises. Whatever you're going through, remember his presence. And then finally, how many more services we got to go? Oh, Lord. Oh, I'm tired. I tell you, like Elizabeth Taylor told her sixth husband, I won't keep you much longer. And she didn't either. She didn't. Remember the promises of Jesus. Remember the presence of Jesus. And finally, remember the power of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 37 through 41, and we bid you good morning. Thank you all so much for letting me be here. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. I love verse 38. But Jesus was in the stern. All the wives looking at them, see, that's just how you sound, just how you sound. I ain't looking at my wife. I ain't looking at her. I ain't looking at her. I deny it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said Jesus was asleep. It's in the Bible. He said he was asleep on a pillow. The man was so tired he brought his own pillow. See, ladies and gentlemen, what you understand is down the text. See, yes, he was divine because he was God's son, but he was also human because he was Mary's baby. And Mary's baby got tired like we got tired. Mary's baby needed to eat like he was asleep. He was tired. So the Bible says he's asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, Master, don't you care that we are perishing?" Verse 39, then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I love verse 40. And Jesus said unto them, "What's up with y'all?" That's the Luther translation. "What's up with y'all? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they looked at each other in verse 41 and said, "Man, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, whatever you do, remember the power of Jesus Christ. He can speak peace, whether it's a Hurricane Katrina, whether it's a divorce, whether it's an unfaithful spouse, whether it's financial hardships, whether it's rebellious children, whatever it is, he can speak peace to your situation. Don't be like these disciples. Yeah, shame on them. Why don't he do something? Doesn't he care about us? We're going to drown. Don't be like that. And let me also ask you a personal favor. Whatever you do, as I bring this message to a close, please don't point a finger at these boys. Don't point a finger at them. Please don't condemn them. Yeah, shame on them. They should have known better. They should have known that he was Jesus. They should have known that he wasn't going to let nothing happen to them. Please don't do that. As a personal favor, because 3.5 years ago, that was me, pastoring one of the largest churches in the city of New Orleans, traveling all around the country. God just blessing them mighty way. And I'm looking up and watching what's happening. I said, I'm just, God, why don't you do something? So, ladies, please don't do that, because that was me. Every now and then, your faith will be tried in the fire. But before I did something I shouldn't have done, I said something I should not have said, God reminded me, said, "Fred, go back into the text. Go back and read the rest of the story and see what happened." It didn't end with the storm on the boat. So I went back in the text. And then the text, as the old Baptist preacher, if you use your sanctified imagination, Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. He's told them, "Let's go to the other side." While he's sleeping and while the disciples are rowing, a storm arises. The boat is being rocked from side to side. Water starts coming in the boat, and these disciples freak out. Their faith is replaced by fear. Can you imagine the scene? "Oh, we're going to drown. Doesn't he care? How can he lay there? How can he snore? How can we sleep? We're going to drown. Somebody wake him up. Somebody wake him up. Somebody wake him up." Peter, Andrew, Thomas, or somebody. I can imagine. Just using my imagination. I can imagine Peter looking at John. Said, "John, come on, John. You wake him up. You his favorite, John. He like you. He ain't going to do anything." John said, "Man, my name is Wes. I ain't in that mess." John looked at Peter and said, "Bro, why don't you wake him up? You always got the gift of gab. You always running around." Peter said, "Man, I got rebuked yesterday. I ain't get rebuked no more." And in the midst of their bickering and arguing and noise and faithlessness, guess what, Crossroads? Jesus wakes up. It's right there in the text. He kind of wipes the stuff from his eyes and kind of yawns and asks a question that all of us ask when you go to sleep on a road trip. "Hey, guys, are we there yet?" He looked at Andrew. Andrew looked at John. John looked up there and said, "Fellas, are we there yet?" "Well, see, Lord, we're not." See, a storm came and the water came in, and see, we thought we were going to drown. Jesus said, "Wait a minute. Time out, guys. You mean to tell me y'all woke me up from my power nap and we're not there yet?" "Well, see, Lord, the storm came. We thought we were there yet." He said, fellas, what did I tell you before I went to sleep? Did not I say, let's go to the other side? Shame on you. You forgot my promises. drown. Come on, guys, thank you. Use your head. I'm in the same boat with y'all. My daddy didn't send me to drown. He sent me to die on the cross. I came to die on the cross. As the brother said in the hood, I ain't going out like that. Shame on you. You forgot my presence. And Jesus looked at those disciples and looked at the element. Peace, be still. And the Bible said the wind ceased and the storm ceased. And I believe, Crossroads, this is just my belief, just looking at the text. I believe Jesus just went around that boat and looked each of those disciples in the eye and said something like this. Why are you so fearful? Just in the eye, each of them. Look at me, Andrew. Look at me, John. Look at me, Peter. Look at me, Bartholomew. Why are you so fearful? Look at me, guys. Matthew, look at me. Look, why are you so fearful? Guys, how is it that you have no faith? My brothers and my sisters, as I come to close, please remember these three P's from this fast-talking preacher from New Orleans, Louisiana. Whatever you do, whatever you're going through, you must remember the promises of Jesus. And he has a promise in his word for every child of God in this church. Remember the presence of Jesus. No matter what you're going through, if you're a believer, if you've been accepted, he's walking with you. He's talking, and he's going to make you, you're going to make it through the storms of life. And then finally, remember the power of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, he can speak peace to your situation. Tony, when I was a little boy growing up in the city of New Orleans in Lord Night Ward, one of my favorite pastimes was watching Saturday morning TV. I love Saturday morning TV simply because that's when all the superheroes came out. I love superheroes. You know, Batman, Spider-Man, Captain America. I love superheroes. And one of my favorite superheroes still to this day back is Superman. How many of y'all remember Superman? They showed up here in Cincinnati. I'm not talking about Ocho Cinco, all right? I'm talking about Superman. Yeah, now I wasn't crazy about Clark Kent. Clark Kent used to tick me off. You know, my mom and dad were divorced when I was 6 years old. I grew up in the hood, kind of hard guy, you know, just did a lot of crazy things. And, you know, Clark Kent was kind of nerdy guy, just didn't get, I believe, this between you and me, I believe Clark Kent and Steve Urkel were cousins. I really believe that, just. And I never could stand men with no backbone. I never could stand men who didn't have a, I just wanted to just take my hand and say, man, be a man, be a man, be a man, you know, just want, but oh, don't let trouble come to the Daily Planet. Don't let Perry White get in trouble. Don't let Jimmy Olsen get, Lord, don't let his girlfriend, Lewis Lane, get in trouble. Because Clark Kent would look for the nearest phone. I knew you know a phone booth. He started taking off his hat, taking off his glasses, taking off his, and he'd go in that phone booth as Clark Kent. Now, let me imagine. Now, imagine those kids who are here 6, 7, 8 years old say, hey, dude, what's a phone booth? They don't know. But that's another story at another time. He going to take off his hat. He going to his phone. He going to his phone with his clock. He will come out as Superman. Have on this red and blue outfit with this big old S on it. Superman, faster than her. More powerful than her. Able to lead tall buildings than her. I knew y'all knew a Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to lead tall buildings in a single. And Superman could handle stuff that Clark Kent never could handle in his life. Crossroads, thank y'all for coming. Tell Pastor Brian I appreciate the opportunity. Thank y'all for all your prayers from the altar. But I've got to go. Before I go to myself, I want to let everybody know, you may not have a phone booth when tough times come in your life, when trials come in your life, when tribulation come in your life. You don't have a phone booth, but I promise you, you got a prayer closet. And I dare you go to your prayer closet. I dare you get on your knees, and I dare you tell God all about it, all about your troubles, all about your trials, all about your tribulation. I tell you, as grandmother used to say, just a little talk with Jesus, just will make everything all right. You'll start rejoicing, you'll start dancing, you'll start clapping because of what the Lord has done for you. And no, you won't have on a red and blue outfit, but you have an S on your chest, and that S is to tell the devil, devil, I'm saved. You won't have an S, but you have that S is to tell the devil, I'm sanctified. No, you won't have on a red and blue outfit, but you have an answer. That answer to tell the devil, I'm satisfied. I'm somebody. I'm special. You won't have on a red and blue outfit, but you have an answer on you. That answer to tell the devil, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. That answer to tell the devil, I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor. So come with me. I'm a survivor. So Crossroads, hold your head up. Love your city. Love your neighborhoods. Love your church. And never forget that when the storms of life are raging, that when the storms of life show up, I promise you, so will the Savior. God bless you. God keep y'all. Thank y'all for letting me be here.